So I've entitled my message this morning, I've called it Facing Life's Battles, Facing Life's Battles. And I hope that it is helpful this morning. I hope it's inspirational in some ways. I hope that it's encouraging for you as we look at this together. But as I was thinking about it, do you remember when you were a kid? What kind of things did you want to be when you grew up? When I was a kid, there were a couple of things, two strong things that I really wanted to be when I grew up. The first was I wanted to play in the NFL. I wanted to be a pro football player. Right from a very young age, I wanted to play. I loved football. I would play football at recess. I'd play it at lunch. I would play it after school. I would play it on weekends with my friends. We would just constantly be playing football all the time. And as a kid, you're playing and you just imagine yourself scoring that winning touchdown and winning the Super Bowl. And it's so super exciting. And then finally I got this opportunity to be on a real football team, a real tackle football team. And I remember putting my pads on and I was super excited. And then practice started and I hated it. Because they made you run and run and run. And then when you fell over, they would just grab your face mask and drag you off to the side. And it was horrible. And so I did the only logical thing that I could think of. I quit. And it didn't go so well. But I waited until after the season anyway. But it came to is 90% of it seemed to be all about practice and a small percentage actually playing the game. Then I got the idea that since football wasn't working out too well for me, that I thought, you know what I would really like to do? I would like to be in the special forces as a soldier, like a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger. And I remember seeing those movies with those guys, and they were so awesome. And I couldn't very well quit school and run down to the States to join up, so my cousin and I got this idea, and I've shared this with you before, but we got this idea that we would join the reserves as infantry soldiers, and we were a part of the Canadian Scottish Regiment. We were 17 years old, as young as you could be to sign up. If you got your parents' signature, I remember my dad sitting in his office with the papers, signing them, and I was excited, and my dad says to me, "You know, son, I don't think you're going to like this very much at all." And I argued, "Oh, yes, I will. I'm going to love this. This is going to be fantastic." Guess what? I hated it. Hated every moment of it. If you thought football practice was bad, you try boot camp. It's like a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week football practice of running. It was horrible. And for some reason, I seemed to be attracted to these jobs that were 99% insane hard work and 1% glory. Until I realized that 99% hard work wasn't worth the payoff of the 1%, and I thought, man, there's something to be said for mediocrity. Maybe not working so hard, you don't get as big of a payoff, but your life is not so crazy. But the idea of the reservist is that you could be a part-time soldier. You could live your daily life, you could go to school, go to work, and you would train on the weekends and be called in if you were needed. And the more I thought about it, the more I saw the parallel of the kind of the reservist life. Because if you're alive, whether you like it or not, until we get to heaven, you will face battles. Some will face battles of depression, some loneliness. Some will face a battle of finances. Some kids will face the battle of school, where it may not come easy to them, and each day they go and they struggle and fight to keep up. Some fight a battle in their marriage. Some will fight a battle with their kids. Some will battle for their own physical health, but rest assured, you will battle. You will battle something in your life. And the reason is because we live in a fallen world. Some things we'll fight because they are of our own doing. We had made some bad choices maybe earlier in life, and now we have to face a battle. Like, let's say you chose to work all the time and never spend any time with your kids, and now they're teenagers, and you have no relationship, and there's a struggle. It's a battle. Some battles will be because of others' doing, the choices that they made. And some will just happen because we're on this fallen earth. This is the bad news. The good news is that God has left us. He has not left us defenseless. He doesn't sit in heaven and say, well, I guess it kind of sucks to be them down there on earth. Now, he knew that we would face battles. And so all the way through Scripture, you see the Lord showing us how to deal with life's battles. And so this morning, I would like to look at one such portion of Scripture. And at first, it looks like, as you read it through, it looks like just a regular old, actual sword-wielding, clinging, helmet-wearing, shield-holding battle, physical. But I believe that there are some parallels that we can draw between that battle and the battles that we face in our 21st century Western lives here as followers of Christ. And if you have your Bibles this morning, I would like you to turn to the book of Exodus, in chapter 17. And we're going to read from verses 8 to 16. So Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 to 16. If you don't have your Bibles, you can follow along on the screen. I'm using the NIV 1984 edition, which is a part of my computer program I have. So sometimes if it looks a little different here on the NIV, that is why they made a few little changes, I think, in 2012. So just so you know, if it looks a little different from there, I forgot to tell Cam that I was using the 1984. All right, so the Amalekites, verse 8. The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim. Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses has ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone and they put it under him, and he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held his hands up, one on one side, one on the other, so that its hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven." Moses built an altar and called it, "The Lord is my banner." He said, "For hands were lifted up to the throne of the Lord. The Lord will be at war against the Amalekites from generation to generation." Let's pray. God, we thank you this morning for your word. Lord, we thank you for your word to us here. And God, we have come this morning to encounter a living God. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that as we worshiped, we sensed your presence here among us. And Lord Jesus, we come again and ask, Lord, would you speak to us here? And God, we want to hear what you would have to say in our lives to us. And so, Father, I just pray that as we share this morning, Lord, that you'll speak to our hearts and that you would open our hearts, God, to receive what you would have for us here this morning. And Lord, if there are things that you speak to us about, that God, we would have the faith and we would have the courage to begin to walk those things out in our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now, this particular passage of Scripture in Exodus chapter 17, Moses had just led the people out of captivity from Egypt, where they had just spent about 400 years as slaves to the Egyptians. It doesn't say exactly, but it hadn't been too long since this had happened. The Red Sea had been parted. They had received quail and manna at this point to eat. They had just left the desert of Sin, which is probably a good place to leave. And they settled in at this place called Rephidim. It was a desert area with large, rocky mountain-type hills around them. And they settled in at Rephidim. But while they're there, they discover when they first come that they have no water. And so people start to complain to Moses. And so he brings this issue to God, and God tells him what to do. And so Moses goes out and with some elders strikes a rock like God had told him to. And water comes out. And so the Israelites are there. They're at this place, and they're now, at first they were complaining, but now they're incredibly happy. We have water. They complain, then they are happy. And such seems to be the Israelites' life up until this point and carried on from this point. And I would say not much unlike our lives either a lot of times. They complained, God did a miracle. They complained, God did a miracle. They complained, God did a miracle. And this is their life. And so they're just living away in Rephidim, doing what they do. And all of a sudden, this Amalekite army comes down to attack them. Some scholars believe that these are the descendants of Esau. And there's a little bit of debate on that, who they exactly are. And so we're not 100% sure of who they are, but we do know that their name means people that will lick you up. Sort of like we would look at a flame, licking up a document. You got too close to the fire, and within a second, that paper was grabbed by the flame and licked up, and it's gone. And a lot of times, this is how we can feel about battles that we face. Well, they could have been brewing for a long time. We didn't really see it. We ignore it. And then all of a sudden, we're facing a giant battle in life. And it very much feels like it's going to lick us up. Like a piece of paper being consumed by the fire. It quickly overwhelms us. And we are left scraping and clawing and trying to deal with it ever so inadequately. And so Moses sees these Amalekites coming. And he jumps into action. He doesn't waste any time. He tells Joshua, go get some men and go fight these Amalekites. I think one of the biggest things that we do that hurts us is that often, most of the time, we are not ready for battles when they come. We're not prepared for them. And I get it. We don't want to be thinking of life like that. We often would rather think of life like a playground. Yay, the swings, oh, the slide. Nothing bad ever happens on the playground. But that's not reality. As long as you are on this earth, you will face battles. We're not consumed with the idea. Life for us is not one big, constantly being fought battle. There are times of wonderful joy and peace and love, and we love those moments. But like a reservist, we also need to be ready to fight if we need. Our reservist motto was ready for the fray, ready for the fight. So Moses, he pulls out his reserve unit and says, go fight those Amalekites. So off Joshua goes and up Moses goes to the mountain with Aaron and Hur. And there he directly impacts the battle that is being waged below him. As long as Moses keeps his hands in the air, with the staff of God in his hands, the battle goes their way. When he gets tired and lets his arms go down, they begin to lose. So Aaron and Hur, they see this, and they try to help him out. They come along and they get a rock for him to sit on. They come to Moses and they hold up his hands when he is too weak to hold them himself. And because they persevere in this, they win the battle. And God speaks to Moses after, and he says, listen, Moses, you need to write this down. You mustn't forget this. Make sure, he even makes a special thing, he says, make sure Joshua hears about this. And Moses builds an altar to God and called it, the Lord is my banner. So what do we see in this story that would help us here in our day and age? What sort of parallels are there that run beside our 21st century life here in this life so far away in the Middle East so many thousands of years ago? I found a few things that I think are very helpful. At least they have been in my own life. And the first thing that I noticed, and there are probably other things, and there are other places in Scripture that help and speak to us on this, But in this particular portion, there are four things that I looked at. The first thing I noticed in regards to fighting our battles here today was this. The first is that we maintain a healthy soul. I know Owen talked about this for the last 3 weeks, but having a healthy soul is so crucial to dealing with battles in our own life. I find that the body runs parallel often with the soul. And when you have a healthy body, you are more able to deal with physical issues. You heal quicker, you get through things faster, your body responds better. But the time to get healthy is not when you have an injury. And the same is true with your soul. When it is healthy, it is much better to be able to deal with the things that might swoop in and try to lick us up. You make better choices. You see things in light of reality and not in light of a broken soul. You run to the right places. You are better able to respond to the Lord's direction and sense his peace. And really, I think as we begin to look at this particular story, I think this is how Moses was able to respond so well and so clearly to this attack that posed to wipe out this new nation. Remember, they're only a few months old. They have just basically come out of Egypt. And here they're poised on the moment of annihilation. Israel at this point was not a group of soldiers. They were a group of wandering slaves. This is some scary stuff for them. So the Amalekites, they come to attack them, and Moses doesn't have to forever to respond. He has to respond right away. He's under attack. But notice what he doesn't do. He doesn't freak out. He doesn't lose it. He doesn't fall apart. He does, however, respond. And he responds in an accurate way. He responds physically and he responds spiritually. We look in verse 9 of this particular story. It says this, Moses said to Joshua, "Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands." Essentially, you go out and you fight them physically. You deal with this issue of the people, the actual physical people, coming down the mountain to attack us. And I'm going to go out and I'm going to call on God. He was able to see clearly because he had been connected to God in a very real and a very powerful way ever since God had called him to this task at the burning bush of leading Israel out of captivity. He wasn't all of a sudden, just at this moment, all of a sudden connected to God. He had been connected to God for a very long time. It had been this way for a while. And while he didn't know everything that God was up to, he did know God had a plan. And he lived in light of that. And you and I will have battles to fight. We will face things. It is not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. And if you are working out of a healthy soul, those battles, whether they be hard or easy, will be fought way better. When you can sense God's hand in your life, when you can feel his peace, when you know that God has not lost control, that God has a plan, it enables you to walk forward where many people would fall apart. If I'm honest, though, our culture is a culture that breeds unhealthy souls. We run way too fast. We're way too busy. Our attention spans have been whittled away, and we don't know maybe when the last time was when we were just able to sit there, when we allowed God to just fill our soul, when we just bathed in his presence, when we just allowed him to speak into the very core of who we were and are. Maybe you'd say, I don't have time for that. Thus is our problem. The doctor has a sign in her office that says, you either make time for health now or make time for illness later. God has given you the opportunity to be filled and refreshed through his Spirit, to have all the organic spiritual food that you could possibly handle. And God's desire for you is to have a strong and healthy soul. I read this a couple of weeks ago as I was out for one of my walks in Jeremiah. And it kind of, as I read it, it sort of made my spirit leap inside of me. And I just said, yes, this is how I want to be. It's from Jeremiah, chapter 17, and verses 7 and 8, and it says this, "Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." It's not that we won't face battles, just like this tree sitting here, facing drought, facing heat. But when our soul is healthy and connected to God, when our roots run to the right stream, then when those battles come, we don't fear. When they come, our leaves are always green. When drought comes, even in that, we have no worries. And even in that moment of no worries and no fear, we're still bearing fruit. But with a dilapidated soul, it's pretty much impossible. We freak out, we worry, we panic. And I say it because I've been there. I, in my life, have run too hard, too fast. I've neglected my soul. And if I'm honest, as I stand here this morning, I would tell you that I've paid the price for it. And so I would say to you an encouragement, maintain your soul. The second thing that I saw in there was that you and I must realize that every battle is both physical and spiritual. Moses understood this. And that is why when trouble came, he not only sent out the troops, but he also called out to God. Moses understood that this was more than a physical battle. And I'm not saying that every battle you face will be Satan. I'm not saying that. The truth is, it might just be living in a fallen world. But make no mistake that the enemy would love to exploit it. Hey, look, Joe over there is facing a battle. Well, let's go whisper doubt in his mind. And all of a sudden, this went from a natural life thing to a spiritual thing. This went from a flat tire, oh man, I got a flat tire, to all of a sudden, why did God allow me to have a flat tire? He knows I'm late for a meeting. Doesn't he care? And the whisper of doubt begins to come in. And it escalates quickly. Frank and Sally are having issues in their marriage. There's no Frank and Sally here. If there is, it's nothing. Frank and Sally, I tried to think of very generic names. Frank and Sally are having issues in their marriage, and maybe it's not the devil attacking per se. It's two fallen people trying to make a go of it. Does that mean that this is only a natural thing? Well, not at all. Because while it may be a natural thing that they will have to work through and change some things, they'll also need to pray and seek God because it's also spiritual. It's almost as though the devil seems to be our enemies and it seems to be notified and runs over there to start whispering doubt into our minds, start whispering discouragement in those moments, to start whispering fear into our hearts. I started reading the book of John last week and on Monday as I was reading John chapter 1, I came across this verse in verse 10. It said this, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. The world recognized Jesus as a physical being. They saw him, they talked to him, they challenged him. They saw him, they saw his physicalness. They recognized his human existence because he was fully man. They recognized that. What they didn't recognize was that he was also fully God. And I was thinking as, again, I was walking, I think a lot as I walk, but I was thinking, How many times do I not recognize what is going on spiritually? I see it physically, but I don't instantly recognize that maybe the enemy is whispering these thoughts of doubt into my mind. And I don't recognize the spiritual side of what is happening so often in our physical world. I see it physically, but maybe I don't see it spiritually. And I engage it physically, but not spiritually. And because Moses, I believe because Moses honestly had a healthy soul because it was connected to God, he was able to see both. He didn't just go up to the mountain and pray. He also sent the troops out. But he didn't just send the troops out. He also went to the mountain to pray. And when we struggle, when the struggle came, he was able to respond properly, physically and spiritually. The third thing this morning is to enlist others. Don't walk alone. You see here that Moses brought with him Aaron and Hur. And when Moses could not hold his hands up any longer, when Moses couldn't do it, when he was too weak to do what he needed to do, Aaron and Hur were able to see what was needed. They went and got a stone for him to sit on. And they stood with him when he was not able to do it alone. One of the things I think that is downfall in our culture is that we live in an individualistic and independent sort of society. And not that it's all bad, but there is this idea that if we need each other, then we are not strong, that we are weak. Or that the strongest people in our world, in our society, the strongest people, they don't need anybody. That we are self-made. That is something to be held up, and that's something to be honored. And I find that very unfortunate. And if we're going to walk as Christ calls us to, then we need the body of Christ to walk with. And this is not just a shameless plug for small groups. But it is one of the reasons we have them. Our heart is to foster relationships where there may be a group of people or a few people out of your group that you can really connect with. Within a real, authentic way, where you can be vulnerable, a place where people can hold your arms up, a place where you don't find judgment. And in this kind of environment, can you imagine what that would be like? Part of the reason we are the way we're guarded so much is because we value independence and individualistic, and I made it, and I did it. We don't want anybody to see that I can't do it. I need you to hold my arms up. Imagine what it would be like to be in an environment where you could be fully who you were, warts and all, and everything, and you could have a place where people could love you and come beside you and not judge you and hold your arms up and find that rock for you to sit on when you can't do it anymore. This is the kind of environment we would grow in. Just like when a plant is in the right environment, it grows. And we'll be able to face the battles that life throws at us when we have a group of people that know us. Where people can get you a stone to sit on, as I said, and hold your hands up when you can't hold your hands up anymore. And Moses had those people in his life. You will face battles in your life. And I want to say you are not meant to go through it alone. But I want to say, don't wait till you're in the heat of battle to start forging these relationships. Start now. And if you don't know where to start, start praying about it. In my own life, I fully acknowledge that I need somebody to be able to share with, honestly, and be vulnerable with. And so I And what I do is I just pray. I know that's the Christian answer, isn't it? Pray. But that's what I do, because I really don't know who to go to or where to go. And so I pray. I say, God, you know I need somebody. And as I pray, God, every time without fail, has me intersect with someone in a time of my life for a certain time. It's not always forever. I'm friends with them for probably forever, but not in that same capacity. People move things. But every time somebody moves away, I say, God, this is where I'm at. I need someone to walk with. And so I pray, and God, every time without fail, has brought me someone that I can walk alongside with, a friend that I can be vulnerable with, that I can be real and honest with. Moses is the main person in this story, right? I mean, besides God, Moses is kind of the highlight character. But what would the outcome of the battle have been without Aaron and Hur? Finally, share and remember your story. When you face a battle, one of the things that you need to do is remember your story. Because the truth is, you will face more than one battle in your life. Oh, that's encouraging, isn't it? You will face more than one battle in your life. And you need to remember, and I need to remember, that God came through for you last year. That God came through for you last month. That God came through for you 5 years ago. And when you face the battle that is in your present, you can see that God came through for you the last time, and the time before that, and the time before that, and the time before that, and the time before that. Which brings us to a mental, logical conclusion that God will come through for us again. That God is trustworthy. When we evaluate somebody as we look at them, oftentimes we look at their track record. What have you done? What has happened? When you look at God's track record in our life, it's perfect. We see when we struggled with finances and the provision that God had. When we struggled with our health and God provided. When we struggled emotionally and God provided. And we see God just providing in every way and being for us there in every way. What happens often with us, though, is we get overwhelmed quite quickly. And we can be ready to throw in the towel and say, God, where are you? God, don't you care? And listen, God knows this about us. This is not something new for him. And I think this is why God told Moses, he said, hey, Moses, write this down. This is something to be remembered. Don't forget this. Verse 14, it says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this on a scroll as something to be remembered, and make sure that Joshua hears it, because I will completely blot out the name of Amalek from under heaven. And I would encourage you today to consider figuring out a way to remember. I had thought of maybe making a battle journal or something. June 15th, faced this struggle. God came through, and a week later, amazing. Thank you, God. July 27th, faced this battle. God came through. This is what he did. The next time, you know, you start looking, when you start facing it, and you start getting overwhelmed, and it feels like the Amalekites are coming, it feels like they're coming to lick you up, you go and you pull out that journal, and you say, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I see what you're doing here, God. I had thought of maybe building altars in my backyard. Well, I don't have a backyard, and probably quickly become just a pile of stones, but but we need to figure out a way to remember. Not only do we need to remember, we also need to share our story. Why was this story important to Joshua? Why did God tell Moses, say, hey, make sure specifically Joshua hears about this? Joshua was down on the battlefield. He knew they won. Why specifically did Joshua need to hear about this? I kind of think it was important that Joshua knew of this because God knew that Moses would not take the people into the promised land. He knew Joshua would. And he knew Joshua would have to fight many battles. And he wanted Joshua to know that every battle he faced was not just great planning and a strong arm, but that every battle he faced was both physical and spiritual. He needed to know that it wasn't because Joshua was so strong on the battlefield, but that the battle was won because Moses called out to the Lord. And Joshua got this. And this is why when he stood against the city of Jericho, he listened to God's instruction and marched around the walls instead of employing usual military strategy. Because he heard what God had done so many years ago as they faced off against the Amalekites. And God wins the battles for us. And this is why it's important for you to share your story. Because others may face your same battle. Others may be facing a similar battle to what you have gone through. And they need to hear. We need to hear of the faithfulness of God. I mean, if you think about your own life, how many times have you been encouraged by someone else's story? Saying, I was hurt, but God did this in my life. And he came through. I was in need and God showed up. God provided. And it just, there's something in us that when we are being burdened down by battle that we're facing, that just lifts in our spirit and says, yes, thank you, God, that you're still at work. Thank you, God, that you are still doing stuff here. Thank you. We need to hear the stories where God has been faithful. And so we need to share our stories. Otherwise, we cannot hear. I'm going to invite the band to come if they're here. I don't know if they are here. Guys, are you here? All right. They're not here. So I guess we're not going to do that. Hello? Oh, he's here. It's like you appeared out of nowhere. Well, listen, we don't get a choice as to whether or not we'll face a battle. We don't get that choice. You will face battles in your life. That is not optional. And I'm just coming through one myself. And I want to tell you that all of these things are so essential as these battles come, that we would have a healthy soul. To realize that your battles are not just physical, they're also spiritual. That we cannot, contrary to what our culture says, we cannot walk alone. Now for myself, I need to figure out a way to remember. I need to pass on my battle story. We don't get to choose whether we will have battles, but we do get to choose how to fight the battle. And God's word lays out how to do it, I think, in a way that brings victory. And I'm going to guess, by the amount of people that are here, that there are some people right now who are in the throngs of their own battle. And they're facing something. Might be big, it might be small, but you would say, I'm just in a battle right now. And if you want, as a church, for these next minutes, we'd love to be your Aaron and her. We'd love to come beside you, stick a stone under your seat. Well, not a stone, these chairs are much more comfortable. But we'd love to hold up your hands. Love to pray with you. And I just want to tell you, if you're in that spot right now, I think we'd be amiss if we didn't take a moment just to pray for you. And if you'd want to say, yeah, you know what, right now, I'm facing that. That would be you. I just encourage you, stick up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. I'm not going to make you share anything or do anything. Just, I'm having a battle right now. if you're around anybody that's you see with their hand up and you're okay with that, maybe just put your arm on their, your hand on their shoulder. And I want to pray over you. Lord, we come today. Lord, you said in this world we will have trouble. We get that. We know that. But you also said to take heart because you have overcome the world. And we thank you for that. And God, I thank you for your word. And I thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And Lord, for those that held up their hand today and were a bit vulnerable today and said, I'm going through a battle. Lord, I pray right now for them. God, I pray that you would just meet them right where they're at right now. God, I pray that they would have a strong sense of your presence. Lord Jesus, that they are not walking alone. That the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God that created them is walking right beside them. And God, I pray that you would bring people into their lives if they don't have them. God, that you would bring people into their lives, men and women of God, that would be able to regularly hold up their hands and pray for them. And God, that you would give them the courage to be vulnerable, to be open, to be honest. And God, I thank you that as we come to you, Lord, you will lead us through. You will lead us through. You were faithful yesterday. You're faithful today. And you're going to be faithful tomorrow. In Jesus' name. We're going to get the worship team to sing a song. And I mentioned something in the beginning about having a healthy soul. Maybe you would be at a place right now where you would just want to rest and let the words speak into your heart. And I want to give you permission just to do that. And maybe this would be a moment where you would just allow the presence of God just to touch your soul, to touch your heart. Listen to these words. I listened to the song a couple of times this week, and I just didn't try to sing with it. I just allowed the words to speak to me. And maybe you would want to join in the song. That's great too. If you want to stand, you can stand. If you want to sit, you can sit. It doesn't matter. But just be. Just let God speak to you, and just be. Lord, you're really good. Thank you that you're the only one that can bring us peace. Keep us from running in circles and keeping our eyes on the waves. Lord, may our life be fixed, their eyes fixed on you. The race marked out for us, Lord. Places that you have called us, things you have for us, not on our surroundings. Lord, may we not wait to engage our souls until there's a battle raging. May we not wait to engage others until there's a battle raging. Thank you for your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, glad you're here today. And invite you to come for coffee out there. And hope you enjoy the rest of your sunny Sunday. God bless you.